Have you ever really messed up in life, made that awful mistake, and just wished that somehow you could go back in time and change everything? Of course, we can't. And neither could St. Peter. Remember back on Holy Thursday evening at the Last Supper, Jesus announced to his apostles that he was going to be arrested, put to death, but then rise again. St. Peter said, "Lord, I'll go to prison with you. I'll even lay down my life for you." Well, just about 3 hours later, our dear Lord was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane and taken to the house of the high priest Caiaphas and condemned to death. St. Peter waited outside in the courtyard. There, he denied our Lord not just once, but three times. The gospel reads that after that third time, Jesus was taken out. He looked at Peter. The cock crowed. Peter went off into the darkness, weeping bitterly. Peter fell. He crashed. Peter waited, though. He had some kind of hope because he had been given so much. He knew Jesus loved him. Go back 3 years then. St. Peter was Simon, the fisherman, at the Sea of Galilee. He encounters our Lord. They had spent all night, had caught nothing. And Jesus said, "Go out, cast your nets into the deep." St. Peter said, "We will." And they caught this huge, miraculous catch of fish. St. Peter fell on his knees and he said, "Lord, leave me, for I am a sinful man." Jesus, though, said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Short time later, at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus would ask the apostles, "Who do you say that I am?" And then he would say, or "Who do people say that I am?" And then he would say to them specifically, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John. No human being has given you this answer, but only my heavenly Father. For this reason, I declare, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. I entrust to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," meaning, after my authority comes your authority. "I confer upon you the teaching authority of binding and loosing. You will be the one responsible to preserve my gospel message and to teach it in every age." Simon became Peter, the first pope. In other glimpses of the gospel, we see of how St. Peter, St. John, St. James the Greater were welcomed to see special events that the other apostles did not, like the raising of the daughter of Jairus back to life, or the transfiguration scene. During the storm on the Sea of Galilee, it was Peter who had the courage to step out of the boat and even walk on the water. Peter had been given so much by our Lord. And now Easter comes. When he hears of how the holy women say, "The tomb is empty," Peter rushed to that tomb, as we recall from our Easter Sunday gospel. He sees that it is empty. St. Paul will tell us that he's the first of the apostles to see the risen Lord. But what hope he had then, to know there would be this chance to not just stay crashed on the ground, but to rise up again. And that brings us to our gospel today. Think of this scene. It's almost like a recasting of history. The apostles, now after Easter, are back up at the Sea of Galilee. They've been fishing. They've caught nothing. Jesus is on the shore. They don't recognize him at first. He says, "Go, set your nets out again." And they have this huge, miraculous catch of fish, which St. John emphasizes because he even says 153 fish. Suddenly they realize it's Christ. Peter jumps into the water. It's almost like a baptism, isn't it? It's like this death and resurrection to a new life. They share a meal. Doesn't that make them remember of the Last Supper. But then comes the time of reckoning. Jesus says to Peter, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He says it again. And then the third time, Peter, one could imagine, just weeping, saying, "You know everything. You know how much I love you." It's a threefold questioning to reverse the threefold denial. We have to really go a little bit further because the English misses the depth in the Greek original text. Two words are used for love. One is agape, the divine, faithful, self-giving love. And the other one is philia, the human, friendship kind of love. So Jesus says, "Simon, do you love me with that divine, faithful, self-sacrificing kind of love?" Peter says, "Lord, I love you with that human friendship love." Again, it's repeated. The third time, though, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me with that human friendship love?" And Peter says, "You know everything. You know I do." It's like our Lord is meeting Peter where he is. He's not yet at that sacrificial, faithful, divine kind of love. So Jesus meets Peter where he is, but knowing that love is going to be able to bring him up to that divine, faithful, self-sacrificing love. In the end, Simon is renewed, restored as the Peter, the rock, the Pope. And Jesus says again, "Come, follow me." The beauty is, go to Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter immediately proclaims the gospel message. On the day of Pentecost, the Acts of the Apostles reads that thousands were converted. We hear of how they're teaching in the temple in our first passage this evening. And even though the Jewish leaders are threatening them, imprisoning them, beating them, they still continue to preach the gospel message. Peter will be the one who really sets forth the missionary work of the church. And when the controversies occur over Gentiles versus Jews and what it means to be a Christian, Peter resolves the issue. He teaches with the authority of Christ. Eventually, he becomes the bishop of Antioch in Syria, prominent Roman town, the capital of the Roman province where the Holy Land is or was. And then he goes to be the bishop of Rome, the capital of the empire. There, around the year 64, Nero wages the first persecution against the church. Peter has to strengthen the faithful. But in the end, he's brought to trial and condemned to death. He's taken to the Circus Caligula, right where St. Peter's Square is today. And he's going to be crucified. Peter said, though, "While the Lord entered this world and I go to meet him, I go feet first. I do not deserve to die as he did." St. Peter gave his life, and he had that faithful, self-sacrificing, divine love. It's interesting that Pope St. Clement, the fourth pope, who was ordained as a priest by St. Peter, recounted how Peter, every time the cock crowed, would begin to weep. He had wept because of, he was reminded of his failure. But he also wept because he knew the merciful Lord had restored him, that he had died and risen to a new life. St. Clement even said that Peter wept so much in his lifetime that even had furrows going down his cheeks. Well, my brothers and sisters, when we look at this gospel passage and we continue our journey through Easter, maybe we can relate well to this. Many of us here have had that experience where we made the major mistake, committed the awful mortal sin. Maybe we failed because of our own weaknesses, failed in school, in finance, business, even in marriage. Yes, some of us here well know what it's like to be rock bottom. But do we stay there? No, we have hope. Our Lord loves us so much, he wants us to rise up again. And he waits for us. As patiently as he waited for St. Peter, he waits for us. This is why the sacrament of penance is so important, and this is why I mention it so often, because we do at times in our human weakness, just like Peter, we fail. And do we just stay there? Oh, the devil would love us to just stay down there and to remember everything or try to rationalize it and so on. It'll eat away at our soul. Instead, our Lord waits for us. When we go to confession and we pour forth our heart, our Lord gives us that time of reckoning to express our love. But in the end, when the words of absolution are spoken, that past is washed away. No, it doesn't mean we've changed life. History is what it is. But we don't have to live it. When we leave that confessional, we start again. Just like St. Peter did, we're restored to the graced life where we were. Yes, the devil would like us to remember those past failures, but we say, get behind me, Satan. Behind, past. We move forward. Moreover, our Lord gives us the grace to somehow turn it around, because we may meet somebody who's in that same kind of situation, or we see someone who's heading into that same situation, and we can help that person. Yes, St. Peter gives us such a beautiful example that never should we just feel like a failure and despair, but rather our Lord in his loving mercy raises us up. Even though we may have just that simplest love, like that human friendship kind of love, by going through this regularly, we grow in love and we grow into that faithful, self-sacrificing divine love. Why else would Mother Teresa, Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict go to confession every week? What huge sins did they commit? None. But their love's at a different level. Well, what about us? My brothers and sisters, we have to remember the example of Peter. I think of a lady I met back when I was at my first assignment. She was the friend of a friend. And she was a woman, gynecologist, a doctor. Sometime during medical school, she lost her faith. She had been raised a Catholic in a very devout family. She lost her faith, stopped going to church and so on. After medical school, she moved to Mississippi, which was her home area, and she opened the first abortion clinic in Mississippi. She did 50 abortions a week. She believed all the lies there were about it. But after like 3 years, she couldn't do it anymore. She couldn't walk into that clinic. She realized she was killing unborn children. She was almost suicidal. She thought of that. But by God's grace, she drove down the street to the Catholic Church. It's just a small little church in a Mississippi town. Knelt down at the altar rail, looked up at the cross, and was crying. Thank God a priest was in the sacristy, and he came out, asked her what was wrong. She went to confession, and now she does everything she can not only to deliver babies, but also to help women who've made their mistake, but also to be a great pro-life advocate to this very day. A death and a resurrection, just like St. Peter. But there is one more challenge here. While we remember this infinite mercy of our Lord and how he doesn't want us to be lost and just crash and burn, he expects us to do the same. Probably some of us here know what it's like when someone we love, someone we've shared so much with, has hurt us. Imagine what couples go through when infidelity, adultery occurs. I've known couples that just call it quits, but I've known many couples who've worked through it because they see a bigger picture. Yes, it takes the mercy and the love of Christ himself. It takes that really divine, faithful, self-sacrificing kind of love to forgive. And it takes it over and over again, an act of forgiveness to repair a marriage. But there's a bigger picture. The devil would want crash and burn, destruction in lives. But with love, one can forgive the failures of another that one loves. And in love, both can work together for the sake of a marriage, a family, for children. So my brothers and sisters, we have to remember, we're called to have that same kind of forgiveness. The same forgiveness that our Lord had for Saint Peter. Think how many times he had to forgive those who betrayed him. So my brothers and sisters, we continue our journey through Easter. Let us remember, though, we're called to be witnesses. Witnesses of the love of Christ. A love that conquers any failure. A love that restores us to his love. May God bless you.